I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gabin, and this is your day two recap for this week's Memorial Tournament. And joining me to break it all down, it's Greg Ducharme. Greg, how are you having a nice Friday?
Yeah, absolutely. How about you, Rick?
Yeah, no complaints. A lot of golf on today. A lot of golf.
Yeah, there's a lot. And it's going to continue on. I mean, we're not going to make it through to the end of the U.S. Women's Open. There's definitely going to be, I mean, we don't want to infringe on anybody's happy hour or anything, so we're getting right to it.
That's right.
But there will be a lot of golf on after this. Lots of action to watch. It's going to be a great night.
Yeah, I think we've decided the sweet spot for us coming on, recording these or going live on YouTube is when the coverage ends. Whether the golf is over or not, when the coverage ends feels like a good time to have people say, okay, let's turn your attention over to the First Cut, see what they're talking about. I like that.
Yeah, I like it too. It's like a nice little post-game show. And I mean, you can't do that on Sunday. Well, mainly because coverage ends when...
What if we just fired ends. It up with like an hour to go? Just
wait, whatever we'll the schedule... Yeah. But every other day, I mean, look, we have a good flavor for what's going on. This is obviously a unique week because there's still so much time left in round two from some of the guys that went out early yesterday. So it's a little bit of a unique circumstance, but Rick, I agree. I think this is the sweet spot.
I need to remind you, Greg, that this Sunday, one of the world's fiercest international rivalries takes center stage as the United States and Mexico face off with the Nations League Championship Trophy on the line in Denver. The young Americans, boosted by the presence of Champions League winner Christian Pulisic, are looking to win their first major trophy since 2013 against a talented Mexico side led by Irving, Chucky, Lozano. Meanwhile, Costa Rica and Honduras face off in the third place game for consolation bragging rights. Stream both matches live on Paramount Plus, and you can head to ParamountPlus.com/Nations League to get started. I think we need cool nicknames like Greg Chucky Ducharme.
You can throw Chucky. I mean, maybe we can do a little better. Chucky, for a golfer, it's a little close to Chunky. Yeah. And we don't want to hit anything Chunky. So maybe we can come up with some of our own.
They'd call me Rick Chili Dip Gaiman.
Greg Double Cross Ducharme.
There you go. Perfect.
No.
All right. Let's give an update on where we're at right now. So the afternoon golfers from Thursday completed the entirety of their first round and the entirety of their second round. So half the field completely done through two rounds. Then we have the morning wave from Thursday on the course right now. Most of the guys, 4, 5, 6 holes through. So that's kind of what we're dealing with. Half the field is in the clubhouse already through two, and we've got probably 10 to 12 holes left for the rest of the field.
Yeah, I would say I'm interested to get your thoughts. I mean, do you think it was an advantage one way or the other? I think my preference would probably be looking at it now, playing 33 holes today or however many holes you ended up playing today. Looking at Patrick Cantlay, I was a little surprised at the scoring with so little wind and soft conditions. I kind of expected him to go a little bit lower, but I guess Patrick Cantlay really turned it on with the three birdies in a row to end his round. He turned it from, I was really surprised to, I'm only a little surprised. 8 under seems more appropriate, I guess, but I still kind of had a feeling they were going to go a little lower. But you got to wait until 5:30. Like once those tee times came out, whatever my opinion was last night shifted, and I guess I was on the fence a little last night. Today I was definitely in favor of the Cantlays and the Spieths and those guys that didn't play yesterday.
I would have much rather been the guy who plays 33 holes in one day, three holes on a second day, so getting all of your holes in over 2 days than the morning wave, which is likely going to be play your 18 holes, wait over 24 hours, play 12 holes, and then finish six. You're going to play your two rounds over 3 days, and you're going to have a huge gap in the middle. And now I start to think that stinks. And
hopefully, hopefully, if you're like a Colin Morikawa, you're going to go play early on Saturday. I mean, I'm not saying hopefully that is going to happen. You're going to play early Saturday to finish up the round, and then you're going to have to hopefully wait till the afternoon, till late Saturday afternoon to go tee off again. So that's a bizarre thing where you got to get up at 4 a.m. to get ready for a 7:30 tee time to go play 2, 3, 4 holes, however many it ends up being. And then you got to wait, 6 hours until your tee time. It's not ideal.
The man that you mentioned, Patrick Cantlay, the 5-under 67 in his second round, spurred by those three birdies to end his day on 7, 8, and 9, gets him currently out in front at 8-under. There's a couple of guys with plenty of holes to play who could chase him down, but this is the Cantlay that we were hoping to finally get to break out, Greg. He had lost strokes with the putter, I think, in 6 or 7 consecutive events, and now through two rounds, he's gained 2.7 strokes with the flat stick. This is the dangerous version of Patrick Cantlay.
This is the version of Patrick Cantlay that makes us think we never will see a slump out of him. This is why we think every golf course is perfect for him, because he is so well-rounded, so put together. There's no weakness in his game. I mean, he goes out and shoots 67 today, and it feels like it was a letdown. I mean, it did. He made birdie on his last three holes of the day, 7, 8, and 9. Up until that point, he was at 2 under, and it looked like the most disappointing. Like it was absolutely the highest score he could have shot. He hit some great shots into the greens. He had some great opportunities, and it was almost, he hit 14 of 18 greens. He felt like he wasn't getting anything out of it. And then he closes it off, of course, with the three birdies, which makes it, turns it into a really good round. But you still leave wondering what could have been. And that's a really good sign going forward.
Yeah. What could have been also for Scottie Scheffler, who goes out, he finishes up his round one. He shoots a 67. That's 5 under, a little bit more difficult in his second round, but still finishes under par, a 71. He makes birdie on his final hole. And Scheffler's kind of been flying under the radar, Greg. It's not that he's been playing poorly. He's got a couple of top 10s recently, but maybe not to the caliber that we were getting, I guess, at the end of 2020, kind of leading into the Masters, into the November Masters, where he was absolutely scorching hot. But Scottie Scheffler, as of this moment, just 2 shots back of our clubhouse leader.
Yeah, right there in the mix. And in a way, it makes sense. Look, I think of this place as a ball strikers. This is what everybody's been saying, right? This is a ball strikers paradise. And I don't know if you put Scottie Scheffler in that category, but what Scottie does is he hits it really high and he likes to fade it. And those are two things that Jack Nicklaus likes to do. So there's a way where you could say, yeah, it makes sense that Scottie Scheffler's in the mix here. He just isn't the traditional guy that you expect to see on top of this leaderboard. Maybe he is. Maybe the statistics aren't telling us how good of a ball striker Scottie Scheffler is at this point in his career. But you look at a Cantlay, Morikawa, Rahm, Thomas, guys like that. Those are the kind of ball strikers you expect to see up there at the top. Nice to see Scottie Scheffler hanging with those guys, tee to green.
Jordan Spieth. Freaking first cut, golly, Jordan Spieth goes out and shoots a 76, Greg, in his opening round. And you're thinking, oh boy, this is not looking good for Jordan Spieth, but he flips the script in round number two, a 67, that is five under par with five birdies and zero bogeys, his first ever bogey-free round at Muirfield Village. And Greg, this to me, I think was the most impressive performances of the day, right? Because he ejected in the morning, right? I mean, it was very early this morning. He bogeyed 11, 12, 13, and then he bogeyed 16 and 17. This was over. He should have been going home this weekend to turn it around in, I mean, what'd they have all 15 or 20 minutes, something like that. For him to turn it around and shoot a bogey-free 67 was one of the more impressive things I've seen today.
And don't forget, he only played three holes yesterday, Rick. So he made a bogey at six. So he made one, two, three, four, five, six bogeys today before making a birdie. And he birdies 18 like champions do. And now he's sitting at under par. But this is exactly, this is what we talked about last night, Rick. This is the risk. If you're going to go and bet somebody who's only three holes in or something, the risk is, well, if it goes south in the morning, you're in real trouble. And that was kind of the volatility risk that you're taking, where you got to play 36 holes. You don't have an opportunity to go work it out at the range or on the putting green or hit a bunker shot. If you're struggling in the bunker, you don't have any of that opportunity. All you got is you got to keep playing. And that can be really challenging for Jordan. I don't know if he found something with the birdie at 18, got a little spark of confidence, or if it, I mean, maybe the early start this morning was just kind of a fluke, and he was it. And that's kind of where I'm leaning. Like, what we saw today is the real Jordan. What we saw this morning was just kind of a strange off day, which he's earned the right to do.
He's earned the right to that. The guys who are out on the course right now, it is the boppers that I think are possibly, by the time this is all said and done, which might be Saturday morning, potentially your 36 hole leaders include guys like Colin Morikawa, who's currently even through six holes. He's at six under. He's two shots back. John Rahm making a move. He's three under through six, so he's two shots back. And then Justin Thomas, who I believe just made an eagle. He did on number seven. He is two under through seven. He's now three shots back. So this, the top of the leaderboard currently with Patrick Cantlay and Scottie Scheffler is certainly that is not stuck in concrete. We might have some movement here.
Yeah, I would agree. And this is more along the lines. See, the schedule is so strange. So I'm watching this afternoon and it's 3 o'clock and it's, and I'm thinking, man, I am surprised the scores aren't that low. It feels like somebody would have extended well past the 600 mark by now. This is before Cantlay made three birdies in a row. So it was like nobody could get to six. I was so surprised. But then you realize that it's still the morning wave. And it's still, you're only about halfway through the morning wave. And there are plenty of birdies out there. So I think that's what we're going to see for the rest of the day is a whole pile of birdies.
All right, Greg. So this whole Brooks Bryson saga has been going on for, I mean, I guess you wanted to talk about 18 months, but it has certainly heated up recently. And there was a little bit of a, I don't know how confirmed it was, but there was a little bit of a rumor that guys who were yelling out to Bryson at the memorial, calling him Brooksy, were being escorted off the property. And then right before we went hot, there was actually a little tip that said, hey, I think Brooks is gonna respond to this here shortly. And sure enough, he has. Now, you and I have not seen
this breaking news.
Yes,
this is real breaking news. Yeah. Live reactions.
We have not seen this. Jacob has this teed up, and I have not seen this video. So Jacob, let's hit it, see what happens.
What's up, guys? It's Brooksy. Just wanted to say, hey, thank you guys for the support. I heard a bunch of you were shouting my name at the golf tournament today. I know I'm not playing, but thank you guys for showing support. And if your time was, I don't know, say cut short at the golf tournament today, DM Michelob Ultra, and we're going to be giving out 50 cases of beer to the first 50 people in case their time was cut short, had any trouble at the tournament. But just as a thank you for showing support. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay. He turned it into an ad.
He turned it into an ad.
We, first of all, we are Arnold Palmer spiked in this family. Let me tell you that for free. Not this Michelob Ultra, but okay. So this is very clearly referencing if your time has been cut short, if you have been kicked off the property. I mean, this is so. This goes back to Bryson originally. Even you never engage the trolls, Greg. You never engage the trolls. When he said it once, you knew that everybody was going to start calling him Brooksy. And sure enough, here this week in Dublin, Ohio, the internet has turned into real life and they're calling him Brooksy.
It's a hard. So you made those t-shirts, right? Team Brooksy. Yeah.
I need a new t-shirt. I need a new t-shirt now. Right?
Maybe it's Team Brooks and Team Brooksy. And Team Brooksy is for Bryson. I don't know. But anyway, you have these two sides, and it feels like one side can do this kind of thing and the other can't. Like this is one of those rivalries that's not a rivalry. Where one Brooks Koepka does something like this, his people, Team Brooks, is heckling Bryson in this way. But I don't foresee Bryson fans heckling Brooks in this way. So for a while, it really seemed like, and Bryson sent out that tweet, like, great to be living rent free in your head. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like Bryson was bothering Brooks, but it kind of seems like that is, there's been a little Mongolian reversal, as they say. And this is not looking, quite as promising for Bryson.
The smile on Brooks's face when he says, "Hey guys, it's Brooksy." It's great. Are you
was that a different side of Brooks? That was a completely different
I've
side
never
of
seen
him
so happy. I feel like,
yeah, he's not like that.
Look at that. There it is.
Yeah, we don't get that.
That's amazing.
Now, you take
I don't want to be a buzzkill because I love all this and I'm not a traditionalist at all, but are you at least a little bit worried that he is encouraging people to heckle golfers?
Yeah.
Is there a concern about this?
Yeah. And that's definitely what's going on. And I feel like Brooks is being a little bit of a bully, quite frankly. I mean, look, it's all good and fun, but I don't know. This is not my favorite thing. It's a little uncomfortable. My hope is that this isn't all, you know, player impact program related, and it's not a whole thing just to inspire action in that or stir up any action in that. I mean, it creates nice content for us, but yeah. I don't like what that means for Bryson, who didn't do it. I mean, he didn't do anything. Bryson, I don't know what he did. And so I feel like he's just kind of under attack here. And maybe I'm missing something. That's what I feel.
Certainly, I'm sure, talk more about this. This stuff is heating up, but Bryson could also not be removing people from the golf course for calling him Brooksy, because now you're just asking him to do it. Now you're just asking people to call you Brooksy.
Right. It's like you just got a new nickname. If somebody ever gives you a nickname and you say you don't like it, it just stuck.
It sticks.
You can't do that. But look, I mean, I don't know. You got to be able to let some things go. So a little bit of this Bryson has kind of asked for, but I still don't think it's not my favorite thing.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see if there's a diss track coming out from Bryson at any point. So John Rahm just made another birdie. He's 4 under through 7. So what we have to do is we've got to look at the odds from William Hill, and we got to see what the heck we're going to do on another evening where golf is probably not going to be completed for tonight. So first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
And we're back. Patrick Cantlay, of course, the man at the top currently. 8 under par, Greg, as of right now, live from William Hill, plus 333. The man chasing John Rahm, one shot back and currently playing, also plus 333. So Rahm and Cantlay co-favorites. Right behind, Colin Morikawa, also out on the course, 5-1. Justin Thomas out on the course, 10-1. Scotty Scheffler, the only other man, I guess, in this first tier who is in the clubhouse, he's 11-1. What do you say?
Well, having Rahm and Cantlay as co-favorites right now, I do think there's some value for Rahm here. He's only one back, and he's only through seven holes. And the way scoring is right now, and as gettable as the golf course is right now, and as hot as John Rahm is right now, I think there's a lot of value there. He also happens to be the defending champion, so there's a lot going on there in his favor. And John Rahm is having a great year. The last couple of weeks for him hasn't been superb, but I've been seeing the putting and the chipping come around a little bit. The numbers at the PGA, for instance, were a little bit better, heading in the right direction. And earlier, basically throughout this whole year, he's had a great ball striking year, but really struggled on the greens, and he hasn't made any putts. And he gets hot like this. I think he should be your favorite right now. And the fact that he's co-favorite, I think there's a little value there for John Rahm.
I tend to agree with you. I was just kind of scrolling down the board. Hideki Matsuyama is 33-1, and he just played 6, 7, and 8, 5 under. He went birdie, eagle, birdie. He threw a dart on 8, which is the par 3. He's 4 under through 8. So if he can get a couple deep, maybe he can get to 5 or 6 today, he can make some noise over the course of the weekend. Because what do you think? Okay, if John Rahm continues, right, and he has already played the easiest stretch of 7 holes, so to speak. But what do you think the 36-hole lead could be?
So I would say probably 10 under. I don't know how it's hard to imagine it's going to get a whole lot lower than that. I think if John Rahm played his next, you know, if he shot 3 under on the second 9, I don't think that would be a huge surprise. It'd be very doable. That would put him at 10.
And he's also going to get, if he has to finish on Saturday morning, he'll get the 2 hardest holes on the course, fresh greens, early morning.
Yeah.
17.
That's 18. A great point. It's a great point, but that can be tough. When you got to wake up, you got to warm up, sure. You got to play 2. Whereas right now, he's hot. He doesn't want this day to end.
That's true.
He is racing to the clubhouse, racing daylight to the clubhouse. He's got probably, it's 7:30 now. He's got probably not even 2 hours. He's got, what, an hour and a half? I think
they said yesterday. Hour and a half is what they're dealing with, yeah.
Just before 9 is sunset. But conditions are good. I mean, I'd be playing fast if I were John Rahm.
Yeah, these stars are kind of lining up here. I mean, just in the top 10, there's 11 golfers there. We've got Cantlay, Rahm, Scotty Scheffler, Colin Morikawa, Ricky Fowler made an appearance.
Props to him, for sure.
Justin Thomas, Xander Schauffele. I mean, there are big boppers up here, which is why a lot of these odds, I mean, there's a huge gap from Ricky Fowler at 14-1 to Rafa Cabrera.
Ricky Fowler!
Thank you. At 25-1. So huge gap. So William Hill saying the winner is coming out of one of these guys. As of right now, that's what William Hill's saying.
Where do they have Kyle Stanley on there?
Let me just keep scrolling. He played well, though. He did exactly what he needed to.
Right. He's sitting in T12 right now. That probably falls a little bit throughout the rest of the day. You got to figure Hideki's going to come past that. So I'm completely joking about that. I mean, we had to get his name in there.
So we are in store for the rest of the evening, which will be golf on the men's side, and of course the U.S. Women's Open on right now, and then likely a lot of these guys are gonna have to finish a couple of holes and then potentially play. We should be back on track early Saturday morning, everybody back into their third round, right? We're not far off from getting back on track.
Yeah, by the time tomorrow evening ends, I think you'll likely get everything in by the end of the coverage window. Maybe that expands a little bit, but I would say by tomorrow evening you'll be right on track.
All right. And then tomorrow evening after round 3, the First Cut Pod will be back to break it all down as after Sunday's final round. But for now, let me thank producer Jacob. He does all the hard work behind the scenes. That right there is Greg Ducharme. You can find him on Twitter at TheRealGFD, and you can find me at RickRunGood. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.